Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast. I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and after a action-packed weekend of Investec Champions Cup rugby, joining me on this week's pod is Steve Cording from the Evening Standard. Steve, you look like you played this weekend or last weekend rather than just talking to me about it. How's everything?
Well, I would say I'm well, Lawrence, but it's I think 3 days on the smash, as you used to put it, is probably not what the order of the day was called for. So it was starting on Thursday at Chelsea, which you were delighted with the result. I wasn't. Yep. Friday, Quins, great result, like that, with a few mates. The worst of the three was Saturday, one-year-old birthday party for little Zach. Started at 3, you'd think, well, that was quite nice and relaxed afternoon. Finished at 10:30. So,
wow.
Yeah, fortunately, the one-year-old wasn't partaking in any alcohol, but I was mum's and dad's, the Sambuca came out. So, yes, it was, I think, well, at the moment, I don't know about you, but it takes me about 48 hours to get over a hangover.
Listen, whatever you do, you have the Midas touch, my friend, because, as you say, Chelsea beat Man United in an absolute thriller. And Harlequins got this weekend's rugby off to the perfect start. Should we talk a little bit of rugby, shall we?
We shall, yeah. Well, actually, two of the Quins boys came to the game on Thursday. So Caden Murley and George Hammond came along, both big United fans.
Look at you rubbing shoulders with your fellow Londoners.
Fellow Londoners who were
all supporting Man United.
I thought I'd tee this up for you. So they arrived. So there's a nice big buffet choice of food to have. And you'd think, being athletes, they'll have a little bit of salmon and they'll scrape all the sauce off the salmon and then they'll just sit there and be, nope. What do they come back with? Two big plates of all the desserts, sticky toffee pudding, apple pies, the lot. So we're all sat there open mouth going, I thought you guys were athletes. Burn it off tomorrow.
They're also in their 20s.
Exactly.
It doesn't touch the sides.
Have you managed to find any time this weekend to get on your bike? Because for the listeners, Lawrence is undertaking his Cycle Slam. Final one starts this Saturday in Rome. And you're doing how many?
10 days of cycling, effectively averaging about 150 kilometres a day. Oof. And averaging about 2,500 metres of climbing each day. No, I'm slightly concerned that that I haven't done very much training. I'm not sure my three laps of Richmond Park last week.
It's quite hilly, Richmond Park.
A couple of cappuccinos and about 6 pints afterwards is really going to cut it. But I'm thoroughly well prepared, perhaps overtrained for the nocturnal activities of fine Italian red wine and good food. But no, I'm going to have to suffer. But listen, it's an incredible cause. Rugby Works. We support young kids who are excluded from mainstream education, and we take them through a program that gets them into full-time employment and education. So if anyone's got any spare pennies, then they can log on to Dallaglio Rugby Works or rugbyworks.com or justgiving/Lawrence Dallaglio. And I think you'll see that I've given myself a pretty punchy target of £50,000 to raise.
Well, so nobody has to write that down. We'll actually put the link in the show notes. That probably makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, that probably makes it a lot easier. But yeah, I'm up to about £28,000.
Oh, well done.
So I'm cooking along nicely. I'd like to get to that target perhaps before I start cycling, which is on Sunday, is my first day. And yes, I'm going to be in a lot of pain for the next 10 days. But there we are. We'll see how we go. But it was an amazing weekend of rugby. I was locked into TNT Studio in Stockley Park, right next to VAR, and thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. There were home wins for everyone, apart from down in Cape Town, where La Rochelle
can count themselves very lucky that Manny Lubok missed the last-minute kick. Didn't have Razzy Erasmus to hook him off the field because...
that was it. That
the
was
final
the
whistle was already blown, but you've got to feel very sorry for him.
So what happened on Sunday anyway? Somebody pulled your plug out, didn't they? I was watching your coverage and all of a sudden it went dead.
I know. Yeah, we were in the studios and we were sipping tea and rather enjoying ourselves very smugly. And then suddenly an SOS because we lost all signal and a broadcast reception from France. We had to run back into the studio and obviously fill in for about half an hour of chatting utter nonsense.
Well, thankfully by then the game was just about done and dusted.
Well,
anyway,
it was, and an actually comprehensive win for Toulouse. Should we talk English clubs first? Northampton Saints. Listen, they haven't won the tournament for 24 years, so for them to be back in Europe... And Munster, a difficult side to shake off. It was a pretty even game until George Hendy came up with a couple of tries. We always talk about the likes of Finn Smith and Alex Mitchell and Courtney Laws, but actually it was nice to see one of their outside backs scoring. And then Quinns, a game you were at. Again, their first knockout win, I think, for ever in the tournament.
Forever and ever, yeah.
And they again had worked really hard to qualify out the group, and they nearly blew it, didn't they? They were 21-7 up at half-time, yeah. And suddenly Joe Marler got sent off, or a yellow card.
Yeah.
And Glasgow were right back in it. So it's, fascinating games.
What do you think now? I mean, Saracens took another thumping. I mean, they've now, Bordeaux have done them for 100 points over two games. It's an amazing turnaround from when they played at Tottenham and they gave Quinns a hammering to the last two games. They've been pretty humbled. I mean, do you think now is the time to start rebuilding, or is it too early,
No, it's not too early. But I mean, listen, I think Mark McCall knows that there's a bit of a rebuild job there. And listen, let's not write them off because it's a hard competition to win Europe. They know it. They've won it three times. I know it. I've won it twice. But I lost it, you know, in various pool matches all over Europe, really. Yeah. I think it highlights that there's a bit of a rebuild job to happen at Saracens. You know, Farrell's leaving. He leaves a big void. You know, one, if not both, Vunipola brothers are leaving. There's a number of other players that will be moving on and going elsewhere. Obviously, Jamie George is there, Itoji's staying, and they've got to rebuild around that group of players. I think that Bordeaux, let's not forget how good they are. They have got a squad that are capable of winning this competition. They talked about it right from the start of the comp, that they fancy it. It's more or less the back line without Jalibert, who was missing, and the young lad, Mateo Garcia, stepped in and played brilliantly. But also, I think what it does highlight is that if English clubs, and look, there's, you know, Exeter made it through, Quinns have made it through, and Northampton have, but have they realistically got the squad to actually go on and lift the trophy? You know, their supporters might argue they have. I think the only way English clubs can win this competition is if they have a really good run of form, is if every single player is fit and available, and if they keep themselves a home quarterfinal and a home semi-final. Because I think there's a big difference in the size, strength and financial muscle of the French squads and the Irish squad, as there always has been with Leinster and England. So I do think the salary cap, you know, is starting to have an impact if you want to be competitive in both Europe and in your domestic competition.
Yeah.
You know, Saracens, when they were spending a lot more money, rightly or wrongly, well, as it proved out, wrongly, were capable of winning the trophy three times because they were bringing British and Irish Lions off their bench halfway through the game. They haven't got that capacity anymore. You know, you can't sign superstar players everywhere, but if you're Bordeaux, you know, they've effectively got the entire French back line or certainly as good as.
Yeah.
So I think it is harder to win now in Europe without the financial muscle.
Well, yeah, well, we'll look ahead to the quarterfinals with the Evening Standard rugby correspondent Nick Pruwell in a little while. A couple of other things that I noticed at the weekend, though. The weather conditions down at Exeter were...
Yeah.
What's the worst weather conditions you think you've ever played in? Because clearly the lineouts were going all over the place. The kickers didn't know where the ball was going. It was pretty hard to play.
Yeah,
in,
I mean,
it
was. Look, we've rugby's a game that's played in all weather conditions. We've had to scrape and shovel snow off a field before a cup game. We've played on pitches that are virtually, you know, frozen. So it's quite difficult when you hit the floor. And obviously, you know, you get a downpour in games and handling conditions become very difficult. But not an easy job for the hookers, is it, when you throw the ball in and you've got, you know, referees pulling you up for not straight.
It's like one of your golf shots, isn't it? Hooking left, right and centre.
It's like not one of them. It's like every single one of them. If I hit a straight one, something's gone horribly wrong, really, normally.
And did you see Big Willie Skelton? Did you see what he did to the Storm skipper, Salman, I have to pronounce it right, Moerat? Salman Moerat,
yeah,
when he protected him on the ground? I mean, I thought that was... That was showing rugby's better side, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, he still got yellow carded in the first half, I noticed. But if you do want anyone to cover you, it would be someone the size of Mount Everest, wouldn't it, really? Because, it was an act of great sportsmanship from a player who is, who's not far from the headlines most weeks. And, great thing to do. And I think that it shows that in all the physical nature of rugby and the battle and the rivalries, that there's still, the values of sportsmanship, shine through brightly. So, it's time we introduced our special guest. It is none other than Henry Arundel, 21 years of age, formerly of the London Irish Parish, of course, and now with the mighty, glamorous Racing 92 in Paris, and of course, 10 caps for England. Henry, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You don't look like there was a mark on you. You had a pretty tough Investec Champions Cup pool this year, in fact. I think only winning one of your pool games, but obviously you still made it through to an away trip to Toulouse yesterday, and I'm assuming by the fact that you're in great shape that you didn't get much of the pool.
No. It was a quiet game yesterday. Very frustrating for all of us. There's a lot to work on, but it's exciting. There's some good foundations and people to come back, people to join, and it's very exciting.
Tell me, because obviously for our listeners who don't know, Toulouse downed Racing by 31 points to 7. You only played them a few weeks ago in the top 14, and actually, I think the game, I don't know if you were involved in the game, but the game was actually very close. It was 31-28 or something. So what were the fundamental differences between that match, where you probably got a couple of bonus points, and the one where you didn't seem to fire a shot yesterday?
Well, I think the top 14 game was similar in the sense that we didn't fire a shot either. I think there's a risk that when you play against a team like Toulouse, there's always the fear aspect, especially when you go away from home, and Toulouse got a very good crowd. And it was my first time playing there, and it was very cool, but it was very frustrating because 10-0 at half time, and we were kind of going, we haven't even fired a shot here, and we can still win this. I don't think the scoreline actually reflects how close it was. I don't think Toulouse would say that they battered us or anything. They definitely found it difficult. So that's what makes it almost more frustrating.
Now listen, your life has changed beyond belief. You're 21 years of age. I met your father actually at Dublin Airport after you'd made your debut for England. And we were having a nice little chat about the match, which you had to work very hard in because Freddie Stewart obviously picked up a red card. Your beloved London Irish went the same way as Wasps and Worcester. So you've had to sort of find another employer. You've ended up choosing to go to France. It's been an extraordinary 12 months really in your life. How would you sort of sum it up now that you're sort of settled, you're playing? Oh, by the way, you just happened to rock up in Paris to score a hat-trick on your debut as well, by the way. So that was obviously written in the stars, but that must have gone down quite well with the fans and the faithful in Racing.
Yeah, that was a good start. No, it's been a weird 12 months. It was weird watching the Six Nations and kind of even the Six Nations documentary. I had a 5-second cameo. Seeing myself from there was quite weird. So at least I can tell my kids I'm on Netflix.
You were in it 5 seconds longer than Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's a crazy change, and the way it happened was obviously very sad. And having obviously experienced the World Cup, which is incredible, and then thrown into the top 14, which is nothing like I expected. It's one of the most crazy leagues I think I've ever seen and come across. So different from the Premiership, but it's a fun challenge, and I've got 2 more years of it, so it's going to be fun.
I was going to say, you've signed until 2026.
Which, yes, yeah.
Under the eligibility laws, rules you out of playing for England until then, as it stands. It might change, you never know. Was that a difficult decision? Because bear in mind, you're someone who's got 10 England caps, and I mean, without putting words in your mouth, you can't always guarantee you're going to get picked for England. And, it couldn't have been an easy decision to rule yourself out at least for the next 3 years. I suppose because you're only 21, you and your parents and your people around you probably thought, well, I might as well enjoy it for the next couple of years, and then we can always come back and see what happens.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. A lot of people to talk to. But it was very much kind of like a development focus type thing. For me, yes, I had, I was 10 England caps and played so many numbers for Irish, but I still really hadn't had the development I'd wanted and the regular playing minutes of top-level rugby. And then I started Racing, and obviously Stuart Lancaster, head coach, Fred Michalak and Joe Rokothoko as the backs coaches. And for me, it was kind of, I don't think there's any other club in the world where you're going to have coaches like this who've played at the highest level and all coached and won everything, at least at the club level. So it was quite a simple decision in that sense of, right, if I want to get better as a rugby player and be the best version when I do come back and hopefully play for England or put myself in contention to play for England, that I'm really ready for it rather than kind of always just thrown to the deep end and having to adapt.
Yeah, and it feels like the timing of your contract signature, you know, it's a bit of a changing of the guard at Racing. You know, they've been a successful side, but they haven't necessarily got the trophies that all that success or the talent has deserved. You know, they've had some amazing players gone through there. Stuart Lancaster is now in charge, and I think he's probably taken a really good 360 view of the club, and I would imagine there's probably about to implement some change. You mentioned the other coaches, Michalak and Rokothoko, and I know you've got Paul Stridgen, aka Bobby, who is the leading S&C speed and conditioning coach in the world, was with me at Wasps, which probably explains some of his mentalness, and was also with the Lions, with Wales. I would imagine as a real character in the industry, he's had a real impression on everyone already.
Bobby is one of the most unique characters I've met in rugby. He's absolutely brilliant. And especially with the French, it's what I didn't appreciate enough was how different the French are culturally to us. It's a very different lifestyle in terms of how they train, how they want to play. And someone like him who was at Toulon and was during that golden era of Toulon, he's obviously got experience. So he's quite good at either getting some of the lazy boys to start working or just get their energy up.
Yeah.
How is your French? If I say comment ça va, are you able to engage?
Yes, I'm not that thick.
please don't be one of those. Please represent us well and don't be one of those Englishmen like Gareth Bale who refuses to learn the language. You, the only way you can get any respect from the French is by at least understanding what they're saying about you.
Probably.
I'd say my understanding's good. I can go through meetings not needing translation.
You having daily lessons or not?
No, lessons twice a week. I don't want to kind of too much French as you kind of get a bit drained from it. But no, it's not bad. I mean, it's difficult at Racing because it's such an English club in that sense. And you're in Paris. So whilst Paris is amazing, it's obviously very foreign compared to like a Toulon, which is quite hidden away.
When you came on TNT, formerly BT Sport, I think I was on the show and you brought with you a little notebook, which I was very impressed by.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're like Elliot Daly with his briefcase. you brought with you a notebook, and I think I asked you at the time what that was for. And if you were to look at that notebook again now, and obviously your life has changed over the last 12 months, what are the three objectives that you have over the next, I don't know, over the contract term that you've signed at Racing?
It's to win a trophy. I think if we don't win a trophy in these next 2-3 years, well, this year, the year after that, the year after that, if we don't win a trophy, then I'll see it as a disappointment. Just with the team and coaches we have, I think we have to win either Europe or top 14, and then individually get better as a player. You know, whatever that is, you can't really put a limit on it. You don't want to put a limit on it. For me at the moment, it's amazing what I've seen, kind of my development already with working with Fijian boys, working with the French boys. You know, you pick up skills, pick up ways they see the game, small little details. And then thirdly, obviously the cultural experience of it. You know, I'm very lucky to be living in Paris at my age, and for 3 years it's going to be incredible traveling around France and meeting amazing people.
I mean, with Stuart Lancaster, he's obviously an incredibly successful coach, has coached at international level and has worked at Leinster. And really, when you speak to the guys at Leinster, they speak very highly of Stuart. You've been playing most of your rugby on the wing, but do you see yourself with Stuart moving across that back three? Would you be playing at fullback a bit as well and broadening your horizons in that regard?
Yes. He wants me to move around and experience different positions and maybe even centre at some point. Down the 13 channel, and it's more just to gain experience everywhere, and you develop so many different ways when you play across those positions. So at the moment, it's not really setting my sights in one position. It's more just get better at rugby, then whatever number you have on your back, you just do the same thing you'd always do.
Henry, is Sia Khaleesi the nicest man in rugby? Because he does come across that way. If you want an ambassador for rugby, he's the man you'd pick, isn't he?
He is, but I don't want to say that because his ego gets too big otherwise. I'm sure he won't be listening to this. But no, he is.
He listens every week, doesn't he, Lawrence?
I hope so.
If he doesn't, he does now.
He's got too many podcasts of his own, too many businesses to do.
That's true.
But no, he's incredible. What I was more impressed by how he can be normal as well.
Yeah.
As you know, in a change room, you obviously want guys who are like good guys and you can have good fun with, and he's exactly one of them. He's not just this walking brand. He can actually be a normal guy and you can he can come chill at your house, etc.
I'm interested to know about the culture at Racing, and it's obviously changing because you've got new coaches, new players coming in, but you've got obviously a lot of French players, you've got a lot of international players, you've got World Cup winners, you've got, you know, superstars from everywhere. On day-to-day training, do you, you know, you've got young players like yourself, you've got some that are, you know, probably been at the club over a decade. Are you all in the same changing room, or do you split into, I would hope that the French integrate a little bit. I hope the South Africans, you know, learn that there's more than one language in the world. And, you know, is it quite integrated, or is it, can it be a little bit, you've got to have 30 caps to sit on a particular table?
Oh, no. It's none of that. The French, that's what surprised me when I first arrived. I thought being English, I was going to get a cold shoulder, but they're extremely welcoming. And it's not too cliquey. That doesn't really matter if, well, we've got two guys in the squad who've won two World Cups, and some guys haven't been capped at all or barely played for Racing, and the treatment's similar. You know, everyone's on the same field, still training at the same level. The expectations are the same. So no, I think, especially with how Stuart does it, it's very good how he balances the young players and the very senior players.
And obviously by you know, announcing yourself as by scoring a hat-trick on your debut, I mean, did that cost you a few euros in the evening? I mean, presumably you had to be brought back down to earth somehow, did you?
Of course. Again, that's what Stuart's good at. He's good at making sure that you're always trying to get better. He's definitely got a similar type of character to a Bill Belichick, incredible NFL coach. Hmm. So him, Joe Rockthoker and Fred are all very good at keeping you on track and never letting you get too big, especially even guys like Sia. Like, there's meetings where Sia will get called out for not being good enough, and you know, that's what keeps everyone humble and is hopefully going to make a very good team.
Now, I was at Brentford Dutech Stadium for London Irish against Exeter, final game, supporting London Irish. You had your picture taken with my son at the end of the game. You won't remember that, but Alfie loved it.
He's only a few years younger than Emery.
Exactly. I mean, it breaks my heart to see how well all the London Irish players that have left have gone on to do and how well they've gone on to perform. I mean, do you keep in touch as a group, and would you want to return one day if the club does make it back into the Premiership?
Yes, I do keep in touch. Obviously, there's a few boys who came to the top 14, so every time we play them, always catch up after, which is great. And then obviously you got social media, so everyone keeping in touch. Whether they return to the Premiership and whether I'd go back is a very different story, because, well, for me, it was more the people rather than the club. Obviously, we had amazing groups, great coaches, great fans, and unfortunately, the loyalty wasn't there from a higher power. So for me, it's more my loyalty to the players and the coaches rather than the name of the club.
Right.
And Henry, you've obviously been knocked out of Europe now. I mean, the top 14 is a bit of a marathon, not a sprint. I can't remember. Have you got maybe half a dozen more games left yet? You're lying in third, Racing 92.
Yeah.
I think you've got some pretty good teams around you. The likes of La Rochelle and Toulouse are obviously there, and Bordeaux, and all the teams we've seen. Stade Francais are flying as well, which are obviously your intercity rivals and neighbours. What is the next block of matches look like for you? Is there a bit of time off, or are you straight into the top 14?
No, so we've got a week off this week because it's Europe again. We'll still train though, just to make sure we're ticking over. But then we've got six more games, six very important games. Obviously, we want to be in the top six and hopefully top four, so we don't have to play in the playoff. But that's what baffles me, is the top 14 with, you know, you can play a team away.
Well, I was going to say they have a sort of traditional selection policy when you look at results. Yeah. Where you see you have one team that gets picked to play at home and then another team that has a lot of changes that gets picked to play away. Now, that wouldn't be Stuart Lancaster's model, but obviously he's probably trying to change that over a longer period of time and sort of educate players that if you're the best player, you get picked every week. Now, you can't do that in the top 14 because you get lumps kicked out of you every week, and it's not always possible. But I'm assuming you found yourself in the home team rather than the away team on more occasions than not, I would hope.
Well, exactly. He's tried to rotate the squad, but even when you do try and put your best squad for an away game, the mentality trying to change, mainly the French mentality, from as soon as they think it's an away game, they just think, oh, automatic loss, we'll just beat them at home. So that, I think that's been his biggest challenge, trying to convince boys that you can actually win away from home. In the same way in the Premiership, if you're the best team, you go to, I don't know, whatever, Newcastle. Sorry to put that in, but obviously they're struggling this year. You go to Newcastle, you're expected to win, regardless of whether you're home or away.
Well, I think in the Premiership, you have a mentality that you can win anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, and that's where the French and English mentalities are very different.
Have you spoken to Owen Farrell about joining next season? Did he ask? Speak to you before he decided to come? Or have you spoke to him since the announcement?
he kept it quiet, obviously, for, well, for the obvious press reasons. But when I knew, and obviously when it was official, I messaged him, and he's really looking forward to it. So obviously he's got to finish with Sarries, and he wants to finish well with Sarries, but he's definitely, I think, very excited to start out with us.
Yeah, and in terms of you, because you're such a young man who's achieved an awful lot and you're in a new country, do you have a mentor that you are? I mean, obviously Stuart's looking after you and there's coaches around you, but do you sort of buddy up with any particular player? I know that if, as captain of my club, if I had players that came in, particularly from overseas that were young, I personally, or I'd want someone to keep an eye on them and make sure, you, I mean, you don't want Christian Wade keeping an eye on you, that's for sure.
So, no, Wadey's good fun. He's a good mentor. He is a good mentor in his own way.
So I'm just curious as to whether, you know, they buddy you up with someone who's French or another senior player just to keep a little close eye. Or, you know, listen, you might have a few questions that you don't want to ask in front of the group and you just want to talk to someone quite that's been at the club a while. Does that exist, or am I,
yes, my, yeah,
am I
yeah.
cooking things up here?
No. So, yeah, I mean, the two that would stand, well, Wadey is actually one of them because he is good fun to be around, so he does make it more relaxing. But the kind of the two that stand out would be Juan Imhoff, obviously been at Racing for a long time, played for Argentina, I don't know, maybe 50-odd times. He came over at the similar age, obviously being a foreigner, having to adapt. And then Joe Rocathoca as well, obviously arguably one of the greatest back three players of all time. So not a bad guy to learn off. We also played at Racing, won with Racing in 2016. So he's fantastic.
Now that you're out, you can say, who do you think will win the Champions Cup now?
It's Toulouse or Leinster. I think if the Leinster pack turns up, then Leinster.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously playing La Rochelle at home, which
I think they'll beat them.
Is their bogey team. They've lost in the last two finals, but as you said, if they can cope
third
with
time,
the
lucky.
With yeah. the power game, and then Toulouse have got Exeter at home, so it's a bit of a uphill task for Exeter in their kind of journey, really. But you never know, I suppose. But you think one of those two, do you?
I think one of those two. I just think when Toulouse turn it on, they really turn it on. They played Bordeaux 2-3 weeks ago and it was an unbelievable game, but Toulouse still just looked dominant. With a pack like that, it's very difficult to compete with. So it's going to be one of those two, I think. I don't think La Rochelle are firing in the same way, but you never know, they may go beat Leinster, but I just think Leinster with their new defence as well may be difficult for La Rochelle.
Well, listen, Henry, it's been a great, listen, absolute pleasure as always to talk to you. Really appreciate that. We obviously wish you all the very best. I'm sure you've got one of your two French lessons this week coming up very shortly. So we shall let you run away and go and speak a little bit of French. And good luck with the remainder of the season and keep in touch with us.
Brian, thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Right, and joining us fresh from the training ground is England centurion Marley Packer. Marley, good afternoon to you. You look like you're either in an aircraft hangar or a rather big gym.
Yeah, I'm just in the barn up here at Pennyhill Park. So we've just had a busy day, to be fair. Gym, organisational session, and then the front row are just doing some bits behind me. So
it might get a bit noisy then.
Well,
is it?
It's
behind.
Normally time for tea, scones, club sandwiches, that kind of thing, no?
No, there's never an off time for that front row, so they're working hard. It's just technical stuff, so we won't get much noise from them or anything.
And listen, you are wonderfully giving up your time to join us regularly. We are two games down in the Women's Six Nations Championship, and England's next assignment is an away fixture to Scotland this weekend.
It's just sold out, that today, actually. Did you know that? So it's their first sellout, yeah.
Fantastic. Give us an update on how things are going. You've had a week off, obviously, which is never a week off in anyone's life. I'm assuming things will start to pick up from now as you build up towards the game, and it's test week, right?
Yeah, and we've had internal selection, so the girls know where we stand at the beginning of this week, and, you know, it's attack the week ahead. We talked about that We've got 19 days left of this competition before we go back to our clubs. Let's maximise those 19 days and enjoy it, like attack each session, but, you know, enjoy it because, you know, the time will go pretty quickly. I think the first time we got this slide up, it said 41 days and it looked a bit of a slog, but now it seems to have gone so quickly and we're getting to that business end of the competition and the bit that everyone wants to be a part of. And it's not just that squad that goes to the matches, it's the wider squad to put us in the right place to turn up on the Saturday.
I've been following the Red Roses on social media and I see that you've all been trying your hand at different sports in the last week as well. There was a bit of a darts competition going on and also some softball. I'm not sure they should be playing softball in there, but that was probably a bit dangerous. Did you have a go at any of those?
Yeah, darts competition. I won that grade.
Did you hit the board?
I hit the board. I'm all right with that one. I hit the board. But we were in coloured teams. There's four teams. In, like, we had T-shirts made with nicknames on the back. So
I was about to ask you, what's your darts name, Marley? Come on.
So the girls have got like a bit of a joke going on at the moment and it's really embarrassing, but mine's Daddy Packs. Don't really know where it's come from, but yeah, that's my nickname. Awkward.
Lawrence, what would yours be?
I can't remember. I think they just had me down as The LOL, I think.
The LOL.
The LOL. I don't know.
Deadly Delalio.
The Crafty Cockney or something like that. But it's all good fun.
Nice bit of light relief though, I guess, is it?
Yeah, and just a good bit of banter. Like, it was on our off week, it was like just really nice. You know, there were no drinks flowing. I think if the drinks had started flowing, it would have been carnage and, yeah, been pretty epic, to be fair. But it was just really good. Like, the staff got involved. Mitch dressed up as well. Just, you know, everyone just let their hair down a little bit. And I think we've got a bit of a motto at the moment. When we're on. So, but when we're off, and that actually we get to enjoy each other's company. And we don't always need to be on rugby 24/7. But then when we are on it, we are on it.
Give us Scotland are your next opponent. And some of our listeners may not know much about them, what they've done in the tournament so far. You're not taking any opponent lightly. You're focusing on yourselves primarily. I get that. But give us an idea of where the Scottish women are at the minute and what the challenge you see coming up this weekend. Going up there, obviously, is never easy.
Yeah, I think definitely we can write off Scotland at all. They beat Wales in the first game in Wales, which they haven't done before. Then they only narrowly lost to France. We need to make sure we look after our own game, but they've got a lot of belief behind them as one. So we need to make sure that we go hard at them. We are fitter, we are better than them, but it just takes time. And I generally believe that we're very direct in the way we want to play, confrontational, that, you know, the performance will look after itself. But yeah, depending on what the weather's like on Saturday, Scotland, the last couple of times I've been up there, it's either been gale force wind and snowing or 22 degree heat and it's like you're in Spain or Portugal. So depending on what the weather's like up there to how our game plan will set the difference between them and us.
Now, we're looking at how we grow the game with our sponsor QBE Business Insurance. Marley, for you, I know some of the girls went to watch the Lionesses at Wembley, didn't they? But how important is it to have female mentors to support women in sport? And who have been some of the most influential women in your own rugby journey and why?
I think for me it's so important in that interlink between the different sports as well, to actually show like there's different avenues for different sports people. You might be a footballer, but actually you might pick up a rugby ball and really enjoy that. And I think, you know, the content that we made with the Lionesses, with the rugby ball and the football being passed between each other and then us wishing them good luck, like that's just really good marketing to feed both sports and women's sport in general. But I think, like, for me, when I got into the England setup, and a captain, Catherine Spencer, is probably someone in and around the setup I just looked up to. I played with her at club. She put her arm around me every now and then when I probably wasn't being 100% Red Rose, being a bit of a tearaway Marley Packer back in the day. But also then I think, like, that Super Saturday, Jessica Ennis, she was someone that absolutely, like, I just idolised after that weekend. And I think, you know, for me to be able to inspire like she did. I was never any kind of track and field athlete, but just someone I massively looked up to after that weekend. So even if it's someone that's not into rugby, but then can go, oh, like, I love how Marley Packer goes about her stuff. That's what I want to be able to do.
Marley, very well spoken indeed. There's never much room for sentiment in sport, but quick word on Vicky Cornborough, her retirement and what she's done for you as a team in the game.
Oh, she's absolutely had a stellar career, like absolutely amazing, both on and off the park. She's smashed glass ceilings. She's helped us with work with the RPA, but also with our contracts. So she's been our rep for many years. But then also the way she went around her business, her training, her scrummaging, her knowledge was up there with the best. And the thing is with that, it's actually passed it down to the younger players as well. And I think the likes of different props to learn off of what Vicky had done it's been amazing. And to go to two World Cups and be at the top of her game, she's actually had an amazing career. And yeah, one that I've enjoyed the journey of doing it with, not just at senior rugby, but also at England under 20s. And I think that just shows the longevity she put into it. And she's definitely left that shirt in a better place.
Well, here. Well, listen, we wish you all the very best for what is going to be another tough game in the Red Roses Six Nations campaign. Marley, I'm sure you will provide that mentorship for lots of young females all around the country. So good luck for you and the rest of the team this weekend. And we look forward to checking in with you next week.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
See you next
Cheers,
week.
Marley.
Thanks, Marley.
Bye. So joining us now is the Evening Standard rugby correspondent Nick Peruel to look ahead to this weekend's Champions Cup quarterfinals, which see Bordeaux take on Quins, Leinster against La Rochelle, Northampton against the Bulls, and on Sunday we have Toulouse against Exeter. Which of those four games are you most looking forward to, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's a massive opportunity for Quins. Obviously, it's such a difficult place to go and such a difficult place to win. But for them breaking new ground in this competition, already it's a step forward, of course. So they'll be just really delighted by that and buoyed by that. So I'm sort of fascinated to see how that goes. Because obviously, Bordeaux have just shown their class by dispatching Saracens again for the second time in a few months, which is obviously, you know, really tough for Saracens, but it's great for Bordeaux. But in a weird kind of way, I feel like Quins might have an opportunity to fire a few shots there, maybe a few more than Saracens did. It was a big blow to them losing Owen Farrell, which would have upset things, changed things, you know, markedly in the week. And so you'd expect Bordeaux to win that, probably with something to spare. But for the experience and everything that comes with it in Harlequins trying to move themselves forward, I think it's just one that's going to, you know, be fascinating viewing. And I know that obviously a lot of the guys in the Quins squad are very buoyant about and bullish about this week.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, I mean, obviously the one that draws the eye is the repeat of last year's final, Leinster against La Rochelle. La Rochelle, coached by Ronan O'Gara, have got the hoodoo sign over Leinster.
They're here already. They arrived today.
In the last two finals, he's obviously decided to decamp to Cork, where they will be residing, which he obviously wants to go home and pick up a few, you know, a few bits of fan mail and a few clothes, doesn't he?
It was pouring down with rain when they arrived.
But he he's obviously got to get them ready to try and be third time. And if Leinster don't manage to beat La Rochelle, they're living inside their heads already, aren't they, really? But that is an intriguing one. But the one that really sticks out for me was Northampton, Vodacom Bulls. You know, everyone's forgotten about how good the South Africans are. They're not allowed to play a quarterfinal in South Africa.
How much of a disadvantage are they now at? Because we were talking earlier about the stat of home team. In the knockout phase stages last year, no away team won. We've had one away team winning so far, and arguably they shouldn't have won. So the Bulls have now got to have a turnaround and travel up here. Do you think they'll prioritise the URC and not send a full-strength team?
Well, listen, it depends where they're, you know. Jake White has spoken very passionately about this competition. If you look to the stats on who wins at altitude, very few teams that go away in a week win at Pretoria Stadium. So, look, it is what it is. I think we need to welcome and embrace the South African participation. Northampton have earned the right to be at home. They deserve it. It's their first knockout win last weekend against Munster since they won the trophy in 24 years ago. So it's just a fascinating tussle. I still think the English clubs, even though there's three of them being represented, Exeter obviously go away to Toulouse, are still a little bit short of the power required to win this competition. I think the financial muscle of the likes of Leinster, Bordeaux and Toulouse is favoured in this competition. But if you've got everyone fit, you're playing at home in a one-off game, who knows? Northampton could produce something spectacular. So I'm very excited about that. I think Toulouse are obviously gunning for that sixth star. It would be amazing. For Exeter, I think this is a learning curve for them. Do I expect them to win? No. This is a young team that will be in this competition in 2-3 years' time, and they'll have learned from that experience of playing in Toulouse, and they can have a shot to nothing here. But as you say, the whole of the way through the knockout stages last season, right up to the final, where La Rochelle managed to turn over Leinster in Dublin. Every other game except for the final was won by the home team. So it's not just a Bulls thing. I think it's just a very difficult assignment to win away. So if you're going to ask me for a winner...
Go on then, let's go through and do your predictions for those two games.
Well, Nick can do the first one.
So go on, Bordeaux-Quins. Nick, do you think that Quins can overcome the odds there against who are arguably probably the favourites now?
Unfortunately not. I think Bordeaux will win that, but I would like and hope to see Quins put their best foot forward and make a dent there. But I think it would be, especially after the exploits of last week, I think it's probably perhaps slightly beyond them.
Well, I'm going to go with the Leinster victory at home to La Rochelle. Finally end their hoodoo. I think they've got a slightly better team. Back row are stronger and I think their defence is better now.
And Northampton.
And I'm going to go with Northampton. The Bulls is probably the one team that could upset the odds, but I just think the force is with Northampton at the moment and they've got so much quality in their team.
And the last game, Nick, Toulouse-Exeter?
That's Toulouse all the way, I think. I think Lawrence is absolutely right. Exeter are in a development phase. They've got lots of talent, but it's lots of young players. The home advantage told for them last week as we thought it might. But this weekend, I think Toulouse are a phenomenal side. And I think we heard it from Henry saying that when they get going, there's something to behold. And I think that it's not just their ability to play in so many different ways. It's the experience of winning, going through these things, and just the kind of extra pep in your step that can give you. And I think Exeter are a way away from that. But equally, they do have the best coach in the league, to my mind, in Rob Baxter in the Premiership. And obviously, he and Mark McCall probably level, aren't they? But his best English coach and somebody who is building something, which is, you know, a new dynasty is going to come again. But it's not their time yet.
No, and we'll also give a special mention to Gloucester, who are the last remaining Premiership team in the Challenge Cup and now play the Ospreys in the quarterfinals.
I shall not be watching any of those quarterfinals. I'll be in Rome, pedalling furiously. In fact, I'll be closer to Nice than Rome by the time I get there.
Well, best of luck, I have to say. You're amazing for doing this. It's a fantastic feat, and we wish you the best of luck getting round, and make sure you look after those blisters.
I'll need a very good meal when I get back. So my thank you to Henry Arundel, to Marley Packer, to Steve, Nick, and of course to Vox Pod Studios for hosting us. I'm off for a couple of weeks now, but the team will be here to round up all the news from this week's quarterfinal European Investec Champions Cup action and look ahead to the Premiership. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.